Jonah chapter 3. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." Benjamin Franklin said, "Be at war with your vices, at peace with your neighbors, and let every new year find you a better man." God is a God of new starts. And we are going to begin a new year Wednesday, 2020. When I was typing out my messages in Sunday school, I was amused how quick it was just to go 2020 on the keyboard. And, you know, I told my Sunday school class, I still remember writing 1963 on my school papers in 1964. And I used to listen to songs that used to talk about 25-25. And I think, well, we might still be alive, you know. And but God is a God of new starts, and we're on the threshold of this new year, 2020. And I think it's a good thing for Christians to look back over the past year, to be able to count their blessings and to see accomplishments in the past year, and then also to take some inventory and to see remember some of the casualties, some of the challenges, and maybe some of the areas where we had failure. And maybe take some time and rededicate some of the goals that we made last year that we fell short of this year. I don't agree with the argument that, you know, I don't believe in making New Year's resolutions or making goals because I failed to keep so many last year. I've always thought, and I've always known, if you don't set a goal, you're certain to hit that, you know, and we should set some goals. But we have failure in our life. We're frail. We're not strong people. We're very frail and we're fallen. And by the grace of God that we have any blessings at all. None of us ever accomplish all that we plan. None of us do. Yet, I think it's better to try than just to call it quits. I've always liked reading these, but there's the 10 top resolutions that are made and that are broken. 10 top resolutions made and broken. Number 10 would be to watch less television. Number 9 is to clean out the back of your refrigerator. That's gross. Number 8 is to balance the checkbook. You might want to do that. Number 7 is exercise. These are the 10 top resolutions made and that are broken. Number 7 is exercise. Number 6 is to stop telling little white lies. Number 5 is to save money. Number 4 is to be nicer, and especially nicer to relatives. Number 3 is recycling everything. Number 2 is to get to work on time. And number 1 is what? To lose weight. To lose weight is the number one resolution that people make that is broken by February. And I remember the days when I went to the gym. You couldn't even hardly get a machine in January. You couldn't. It was so packed, people standing in line. But after Valentine's Day, it was pretty emptied out and everything, and plenty of room. Now, people who try to, probably to set goals probably get more accomplished than those who don't. So I think it's a good time. But I think we need to understand that God is a God of seconds. God is a God who allows us to start over again. And even with their failure in our life, God gives us another opportunity. In Jonah, the Bible speaks about him. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." Aren't you glad that we have a God who is a God of seconds, thirds, and fourths? Aren't you grateful for that? And I want to speak to you tonight just for a few minutes about four Bible characters that made a new start. We start with Jonah. Jonah made a new start to preach to Nineveh. In verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great day, great city of 3 days' journey. Now, if you remember the case here, God has spoken before this time. He told Jonah to go to be an evangelist and to preach his word, but he was a rebellious evangelist. He did not like these people. We're not sure if it's because their culture was different, their skin was different, but they were different, and he had no appreciation for these people. So he rebelled against God, and he called God's call on his life, and he ran from God. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. And I want you to know, any time that we go down, we run for God, we're going down. And then he said, the Bible speaks about how he paid his fare. Let me tell you, he paid dearly. We know that. He was going to run for God. He was rebellious to God's will for his life. And he instead went to Joppa and was going to go to Tarshish where he's going to find the far country. But God prepared this great storm. You know the story. And Jonah was, he confessed his rebellion after the sailors were trying to save the ship. It was being thrown to and forward, and they had lightened the ship. They did all they could do. And finally, he said, "You have to bind me. You have to throw me overboard if you're going to be spared." And they took Jonah, and they bound him up, and they cast him over the bow. And God had prepared a great fish, the Bible says. I believe it was a whale. And I don't believe that before this time there was a fish this big. And it came up, and it swallowed Jonah. If you believe that, say amen. I was preaching years ago in the Disciple of Christ Church. Don't ask me why I was there, but I was there. And their women deacons walked out when I mentioned that. They didn't believe that, although we had many teenagers saved at that meeting. That being said, let me say that there's this great fish that swallowed him. By the way, you can Google this and you'll see there's many accounts where whales have swallowed men. So it's not the last occasion that this happened. And then Jonah, he is in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and he's crying out to God. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. Man, I've been in some bad places. I've been in some sorry places. There's been some times I've looked at myself and I just thought, "Mama, if you could see me now." But I've never been in a place like that. I got a feeling there was some rotten fish floating about, some seaweed going about. I want to say a spare tire, but probably not. But there's all kinds of stuff there. And he had 3 days. You know, Paul prayed for 3 days and 3 nights when he was blinded. He had 3 days to have a come to God meeting. And he began to pray a penitent prayer. And the fish came on the shores and threw Jonah up, tossed him out. And Jonah was quickly, it was a 3 days journey, but the Bible says he made it in a day. And it's amazing what 3 days in a belly's whale can do for you. And Jonah went there and he preached. The Bible, God told him to arise, and he got going, and he got a second chance. And Nineveh, this great city, repented. They heard the word of God. They got a second chance of life for another 100 years. Now listen, Jonah was a better man because of his new start. And there's some of you here, and you've got some failure in your past. You've got some things that some skeletons in your closets. Can I tell you something? All of us do. We all have failure. We all have sorrow. And maybe your failure might seem to be worse than somebody else's failure, but I'm sure of this. The devil will keep you grounded. The devil will keep you useless. The devil will keep you depressed. And he's the slanderer of the brethren. And I want you to know, God is a God of second chances. Now, it's not a sin to fall down. It's a sin to stay down. Get up and start fresh, start new, begin again. Thank God for a God of second chances. Not just Jonah, but we speak about Jacob. Jacob made a new start at Bethel in Genesis chapter 28. The Bible says in verse 16, and Jacob asked out of his sleep, or he awaked out of his sleep. And he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God." I love that. And that is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And but the name of that city was called Luz after the at the first. Bethel means house of God. Now, after stealing Jacob, he was a supplanter. And after stealing his brother's birthright, his brother Esau, he despised this birthright. He saw no real potential in it. He didn't see any real concern for it. He was more concerned about filling his belly. He was more in touch with the needs of his flesh than he was spiritual things. But Jacob, he swindled his brother. He tricked his father. Can you imagine that? The father said, "Go fix me your venison," and Jacob or Esau goes out to kill a animal to fix this venison, and Jacob's mother comes and she fixes that, and he puts lamb wool on his arms, and he's speaking to his father, and his father says, "You don't sound like Esau." He says, "Come here, let me fill you," and he fills that wool and. So, yeah, that's him. I think, man, how hairy of a guy was he, you know? And he eats the meat. He blesses Jacob, only for Esau coming hours later with the venison and says, "Bless me. Bless me now, O my father." And he says, "I've already given the blessing. There's no turning back." And Esau vowed to kill Jacob. The night came when Jacob had a dream and he saw this ladder or a stairway reaching to heaven, and that night he wrestled with the angel of God, ascending and descending, and he wrestled, and the Bible says in verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angel of God ascended and descended on it. He rose up, and the Bible says in verse 16, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Then Jacob, he made a vow to the Lord in Genesis 28, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow and saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and the raiment to put on. He says, verse 21, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. In the next few years, Jacob backslides even more. And then came the commandment of God to tell him that he needs to go back to Bethel. And the family did. They did away with all their idols. Their hearts were cleansed. Their garments were cleansed. And they went back to Bethel, and they started a new start. And God blessed. You see, I think that we so condemn ourselves, and I don't accept failure easily, and I don't think anybody does. It's serious. But we've got to take it to God and know that God will give a new start. We're not finished. We're not done. There's a third man. His name is Moses. Moses made a new start to deliver Israel. In Exodus 2, we have the account in verse 11. It says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And remember, Jochebed, Moses' mother, put him in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him as her own. But she taught him the Hebrew faith, and he knew that he didn't belong to the Egyptians. And in verse 12 it says, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men were Hebrews stove together. They were arguing and fighting. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me, and as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well. Moses, after being reared in Pharaoh's court, he decided to cast his lot with God's people, with the Hebrews. We're reminded in Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sins for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seeing him who is invisible. Moses, he refuses to be classified with the court, with Pharaoh and his daughter. He sees this Egyptian abusing this Hebrew brother. And when Moses looks both ways and no one's looking, he takes this man's life. That's a pretty bad failure. He takes him, he buries him in the sand. Then a couple of days go by, he sees a couple of Hebrews fighting. He goes over there and he begins to correct them and to rebuke them. And one man turns and says, are you our prince? Are you our king? Are you over us? Are you going to kill me the way you did that Egyptian and bury him? And Moses knew he was in trouble. He fled to the other side of the desert. One day God spoke to him through this burning bush. And this is 40 years later. 40 years later after killing the Egyptian. 40 years later after fleeing from Pharaoh. 40 years later, he's there on the backside of the desert. Listen to me. He's watching Jethro, his father-in-law's flock. And a bush explodes into a pillar of fire. And from that bush, God speaks to Moses. And he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here am I. And he tells him to go to back to Egypt, go to Pharaoh, and tell him to let his people go. And Moses said, who am I? Who am I to go? And God says, you go and you tell them you're representing the I Am. Now, Moses, he made a new start. And this time, he was successful. I'm just telling you that if you've had a hard way, if you've had a failure, if you've had some failures, if you've had some difficulties, the devil will keep you pressed in. The devil will make you feel lower than a rattlesnake in a wagon rut. You'll feel low down. You'll feel defeated. You'll get depressed. I want to say, hardly anyone accomplishes all the goals and all the things that they feel like they should do. Moses was one of those. We see Jonah. We see Jacob. We see Moses. How about one of my favorites? How about Peter? Peter made a new start to be a fisherman of men. In Matthew 4, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, and Jesus, walking on the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They didn't talk about it. They didn't talk to their dad about it. I think their father had trained them well. They dropped everything they had, their boats, their nets, their business, their vocation, all of it, and they followed him. Peter was called to preach the gospel. He was called to win souls. And then we see farther down in Mark chapter 14, verse 71 and 72, the Bible says that he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. They had taken Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane. We've been there. We've seen it. And they have him bound, and they have the false accusations coming against him. And the Bible says Peter followed afar off. And he's watching, he's seeing, and I believe that as they took Jesus and they moved him from one court and went through the garden to another court. I believe that was probably when Peter was confronted and Jesus heard him. And the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked and saw Peter. Now, let me remind you, the Lord had warned Peter, hadn't he? He says, the devil desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, and when thou hast been converted, strengthen the brethren. And Peter argued. Well, we do that, don't we, argue with God? Peter argued, and he said, I die for you. I go to prison for you. But here this little damsel comes up to him and says, surely you'd be with Jesus of Nazareth. Your speech betrayeth thee. You talk like those disciples that follow him. Your dress betrayeth thee. And Peter, he begins to curse. Now, I don't think he was, some will say he was making, if I'm lying, may there be a curse upon me. Now, the Bible says he began to curse and to swear. He went into fisherman mode. It wasn't the first time he let a few words fly. He grew up on the boat. He grew up in a rough vocation. He grew up around some rough men. He knew how to talk that talk. He began to curse. He began to swear. He said, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the words of Jesus, said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Now, Peter, we find him after he meets the Lord and Jesus reveals himself after his resurrection. He tells Mary, go tell the disciples, I've risen, and tell them to meet me. And he says, personal invitation, and tell Peter to come. You know why he did that? Because he knew Peter, and Peter said, I denied him. I cussed and I sweared. And he wants you guys, but he don't want me. You know, see, that's the way we feel. But I want to tell you something. God wants all of us. And we're a sorry bunch, aren't we? Oh, how patient and long-suffering he must be for us. We see here that Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Then they that gladly, down in verse 41, then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day they were added to the church about 3,000 souls. Can I tell you something? Peter resolved to start over. Why not, whatever that thing is in your life that brings instant defeat to you, why don't you bury that in the deepest sea and leave it there? That thing that haunts you, that thing that instantly defeats you, that thing that just makes you want to sit down and just quit. Hey, why don't you just resolve to start over? Why not say, yeah, that was bad, that was a failure, but I didn't bury some Egyptian in the sand. I didn't catch a ship to a different place than God told me. You know, I didn't, steal someone else's property or birthright. I didn't curse and swear and deny that I even knew him. Can I tell you this? God used all these people who had great failure in their life. And some of you, you're haunted with failures. Can I tell you something? There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. I don't care if you've been divorced, if you've been remarried. I don't care what the situation is in your life. I tell you, we go into prisons and we tell murderers that God will forgive them. And I want to tell you, whatever your situation is, God will forgive you. And you put that behind you and you press towards the mark and the prize of Jesus Christ. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Paul forgot those things which were behind, holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen, and he pressed forward. David lifted up his eyes into the hills, from whence cometh thy help. Daniel purposed to commune with God at all times, even when the decree said, no praying allowed. Caleb and Joshua refused to be discouraged by the big crowd, the other 10 spies. Joseph, he stayed true unto all the temptations that tried to lead him astray. Gideon advanced even though his friends were few. Aaron and Hur upheld the men of God's arms, their spiritual leaders, so the battle might be won. Isaiah consecrated himself to do the work of God. Andrew labored to lead his brother to Jesus Christ. Stephen manifested a forgiving spirit to all those who sought to stone him. Timothy studied the Word of God to prepare for the ministry. Why not resolve to do all things through Christ this new year? Now let me leave you this verse. Let's stand. Stand to our feet. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You know it. Let's say it together. Put it up on the board for us. We'll say it together. Philippians 4, verse 13. Ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listen to me. Does that mean that if I want to come over here and play this grand piano, I can do that? I can do all things? That's not what that means. Does that mean that if my faith is great enough that I can get up and I can sing soprano and be beautiful doing it, I can do all things? No, no, that's not what it means. What does it mean, Pastor? It means you can do all things that you're supposed to do. You can do all things that God desires you to do. God will strengthen you. Listen to me. He'll help you be that godly husband. He'll help you be that godly father. He'll help you be that godly wife, that godly mother. He'll help you be the light and the beacon at the workplace. When you're in the center of just carnality and wickedness, He'll help you be the light, the beacon. He'll help you do what you need to do. Now listen to me. You take your failures and your disappointments and your weaknesses. You confess them to God. He knows about them already. And you pick up and you start fresh. 2020 is a new year. What does God have for us? You know, I believe the key, I believe the ticket to the victory is through prayer. I believe it is. God help us.